Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yes, we're going to keep the morning around! Right, we need to be quick. We've only got this man for 50 minutes today.
50 minutes
today. No, which is 40 minutes longer than Hearts fans usually get to see him. He's getting his kitchens done. Tell him what you're getting.
My kitchen done.
Hugh Keevan's arse cheeks putting it in the kitchen workshops.
I had to do work on them this morning. Look. Bit of lucky's gear on.
Where are you going, Andy? What are you doing? You going to the Trun?
Aye.
Going to the Trun. With the missus?
Aye, got me jelly, but it's...
Is it work? Is it mere work?
Aye, it's work. Work related.
You know, you taking her pictures again? You going down there like 2 hour pictures again?
And this weather, you fucking joke.
Once you gave me 4 quid an hour for it.
It's mere than you gave me.
By the way, there's a comeback.
Kevin Cowan, mate.
Mate, you look like you've done a Harry Maguire. Just go out of your bed, scratched your arm.
I see that.
Oh, mate, decent,
mate. He's wheezing. See him picking up with his broke his ribs.
Oh. You got a chicken bone stuck in your ribs?
Why? Playing with a chicken bone in.
I think I've actually broke a rib.
Have you, mate?
Aye.
How, what happened?
Big Stuart Maxwell. Big Stuart Maxwell is that they played with.
Never heard of you, son. Stuart Maxwell,
no,
never heard of you.
I'll be cut out,
that name will be cut out.
He was just saying how well you were on the show as well. So his size good in the show, but obviously that's fucking nonsense.
But by the way, played up front, but also took a shot on goals.
Did you score that point?
No. Big man's dribbles. Played up front then. Derek Lyle.
How was he, mate?
How's he still playing football?
He was good for us when he came on Saturday.
No, to be fair,
there's not much mobility in 18 these days, is there?
To be fair, he was he scored a good goal. It was a decent game, to be fair. Know who I was up against? Kenny Branigan. Danny Lennon sitting in the hole with three of us.
Did Danny Lennon ask you to go over that island?
Is this over 60s or something?
I don't know. Kenny Branigan. Had to be over 40.
But we have a shout out to John Higgins. Another final last night, listen, he didn't cross the line, but we've not spoken about when ages, haven't we?
Nah, amazing. No, great, mate. They crab salads, I want a treat.
It was the weight I noticed as well, Si, because he started the journey was at Eusebius, didn't he?
Yeah.
We were like, what was he eating crab for? But he's listening, stuck with it, isn't he?
But Lee Mayer's punting him in it,
he was in the crowd, on his queue, wasn't
he? Shiny's he is looking well.
Higgins 15, that was a code, that.
For 10%.
No, but a big
Higgins 147, that. Is that right, 147, is that?
147, Simon. A big shout out to you. What do you mean? I hear we've not spoke about him in a wee while.
So yeah, what did you get? No, actually, what did you get up to at the weekend?
Surprise. I was at a surprise birthday. When I turned up, I was just like, get out, you wear that jumper again. And I was wearing the navy one I wear on here. See what I wore at the engine interview? The exact same.
You want to talk about that? It's later on in the segment, but do you want to talk about it now?
Unbelievable. Listen, one of the guys, when you talk about order when he walks out, but amazing. We've been told after a few of the players, listen, you'll not get much out of him. It's serious, not right, so don't fuck about it, don't joke about it. But what a personality, mate, wasn't he? Mm. Just loved us, didn't he? Well, Si was on it, though. Si was on it, Andy.
I had the tactical.
He did.
What would you call it? A tactical sea on swim before that?
Enjoyed it, didn't
Tam,
you?
Tom Coates. I know you're watching, Thomas.
Was that a good football chat?
But he went missing one for a while and you came back with hunters of wool on your face. What was that? his jumper was that? Right, lads, I don't know if you watched The Jungle last night, but looks like Grosvenor, they're in it.
They
win it.
Did you not see their audience with Adele last night as well? Grosvenor are doing one.
Wembley,
I think.
Wembley was amazing,
brilliant, mate.
I've missed. I'm going to.
Who wants the day off for this week?
That's where I'm a celeb this year, innit? Grosvenor Island.
In Grosvenor Casino.
It's the biggest one I've ever had. Biggest one I've ever had.
Tell them the offer, Andrew.
Well, it's still bet £10 and get £30 free bet.
From new sign-ups, Andy?
I tell you what, it's absolutely incredible. All you need to do is enter the draw each week. You need to sign up to Grosvenor Sport at gsport.com.
But early, Andy, but you've done very well.
But can we know, maybe mix it up?
Right, I like that, actually. But Simon, what I like is for the new sign-ups.
You need to look at the sheet to know that.
Not at all. The new sign-ups were also gaining up two Hydro tickets away, Simon. If you
can it be?
Two Hydro tickets. Every keeping the ball on the ground and every writing the kitten show.
So they're right on.
Just as a competition prize.
Mm-hmm. And with the tickets, we'll also send out a signed picture of Kevin, a short skirt.
Not a problem.
You've got a couple of them, haven't you?
I'm flat with you boys.
No, you're no big man. You're
flat. That picture that I just said
that weekend. Flat and flat. Fucking chest is killing me. My legs are killing me. That's me. I'm not playing fit.
Did you say a few beers after the game?
I had one San Miguel. It was absolutely amazing.
San Miguel, was that?
I don't really think.
Really thank you for that.
Simon, how was your wedding?
Piss. Wedding was good, mate.
Three pesos.
That's the first time in 4 years that I've known Simon that he had a pair of trousers on that fitted him.
Not good, that?
You did. You look well. The suit went right to the ankles.
The suit.
Incredible.
You know what the suit was, but we'll not give him a mention.
Aye, but was that again Armani?
No, Armani.
It was nice.
It was good, mate.
You were looking good. Well.
And then a wee result on Saturday.
So yeah, the result was amazing. 1-0 down and then come back 1-2.
Long is a wee bit.
Your average age was 21.
Oh, it's fucking... And Dale White was on the pitch.
Was Dale came on, it went up to fucking 56. Boys are good, mate.
What was it about Preston than that?
Pressed high up the pitch, huh?
So, I'm not going to lie, I had Queen's Park on to beat his.
Did you bet against them?
Put them on to beat his and he went...
That's fucking your order.
They went 1-0 and I was like, that's when he went 1-0. I was like,
Queen's Park toiling a wee bit.
That's what I thought. She's putting minus one, bastard.
Are Queen's Park toiling a wee bit?
I think they drew with Clyde last week and then obviously we beat them, so probably two teams they expected to beat.
I would agree with that.
So I think they only had two shots on their goal as well, which is...
We seem if we've all had a nice weekend, didn't we?
It is.
How was the Hearts game?
I was going to say that. I didn't mean that.
But we're buzzing because Graham Alexander's one of our favourite new managers.
You've said that about every guest though.
Mate, he's doing this head to toe nonsense as well, which is unbelievable.
Didn't think you'd have got away with that, but he deserves it, the guy. But
they were good. They were better than us at the weekend, to be fair. I think there's ways to drop points, and I don't think we've really played. I don't think we've dropped points this season. We've been really poor.
Yeah.
But at the weekend, that's probably the poorest we've played.
Did you see all the possession?
Nah, not really, to be honest.
Was it?
Nah.
I thought Motherwell, watching the highlights, Motherwell looked like the bullied Hearts, to be honest. But Craigie Gordon, you might see this.
I've seen the two saves, mate.
I'd save the season.
That's unbelievable.
The second half.
Some goalie, him, isn't he?
International break can be a pain in the arse sometimes. You get a wee bit of momentum going and then you get some points and then the international break comes and you lose a few players, take the comeback a wee bit different. Sometimes I always think it's great to have it because we're doing well as a nation, but club managers, I don't think look forward to it.
I've not spoke to many of the boys about the game, but I think we were maybe a bit surprised at how Motherwell approached it, to be fair.
Did they play it, Andy?
No, but they pressed us for the front, got after us. I think overloaded us in midfield, but every team sort of plays your three in midfield anyway.
You
but they made it count because they got after us in midfield, presses for the front. Never really let us play out because they knew we would try. And well, poor at weekend.
Right, big game yesterday or Sunday, sorry, Hibs v Rangers. What did you think of the game? Who's want to go first? What a game, can I say first? What a game again. Watched fucking Man City in that
fucking ball fest, honestly.
Hibs Rangers, what a game of football, man.
That's what football, I think that's what you grew up loving football, that game.
You said you watched the falling of your fist in your mouth?
Fist in my mouth and ball naked in there. Just to make the effect much better. And I made sure the family done it as well. That's what I said.
We can't help but bring the family up there. He just needs to stop at him.
Imagine the whole family though just sitting on the car.
Imagine the VC's on the buff.
The uncle used on the toilet, but with that glass door. No, listen, Simon, I always say this, we talk about tactics, we talk about great football, passionate and all that. There's nothing but that's what people love football for, that. I mean, that end to end, the tempo of the game.
Aye.
So quick, wasn't it? It was amazing, mate.
Every pundit says that, mate, the tempo. See, that's what I hate. Scotland, they need to lift the tempo. What does that mean, lift the tempo, man?
Because it was really, really quick, the game.
Intensity,
you bastard. Aye, so, no, it was amazing to watch, mate. It was literally, see, I feel what you're like, when is this going to calm down a bit? But it never did it?
What, it's like what Graham Alexander said, it's like proper Scottish football, isn't it? It's just nobody's really keeping possession, mate. It's just, we get it, try and score, you get it, try and score.
And the atmosphere was electric as well. Brilliant, because somebody would say Hamden's not really that good, but it was, no, listen, it was, what a game.
Surprise the Rangers. I think you said on the chat, didn't they play that bad first 10 minutes, but the defending was shocking.
Do you think not? Sorry, Andrew.
No, on you go, mate.
No, just question. I seen the Cooper show, I didn't think a manager not being there would have had an impact, but I think
it did. But they've been like that all year.
The two biggest things with Rangers over the last few weeks has been starting quick. I think that's six games in a row domestically. They've went 1-0 down.
1-0 down.
In set pieces. And by the way, Rangers had a team last year, for set, I don't think. I might be wrong with the exact number, but I'm sure it was two set pieces all season they conceded. They've conceded about six or seven.
Which changed? How can that happen? Because, mate, I used to ask you last year, would the Rangers day off the ball? I need to know so I can do it. But now it's complete opposite.
Two things are so apparent.
It's a wee bit of fragility.
Oh, fragility.
It's creeped into
the... That's not bad,
it's creeped into the... I think it's creeped into the... I think it's creeped into the defence, because obviously they were so solid last year. And now things like the goal with Tavernier, the first goal, I know he's waving his hands afterwards as if to say it was somebody else's fault, but you anticipate him missing the ball. That's the first thing you do when you're defending us.
You smell the what if, don't you, Kev?
It's not the what if, exactly.
So
just think, if he's going to miss that, I'm there ready to clear that, and he wasn't. So that leads to the first goal, and then obviously that then sets.
But still, I mean, no saying anything about Glenn Kamara just letting his man drift off him 2 yards
for totally. Goal. But then there's Glenn Kamara obviously thinking they're going to clear it, but again, it's the what-ifs.
Touch tight in the box now.
But Rangers say...
I actually think Rangers' arguably best period of the game is the first 20 minutes of what they're now doing.
Aribo was getting in the half turn in the pocket, wasn't he?
Aye, he started the game on fire. They were talking about tempo. Their tempo was brilliant the first 20 minutes. They were trying to play forward. You can see that they've known for the last 5-6 games they've been 1-0 down, they've started poor. So you see they try to rectify that, start the game quick, and then just two... poor, such like really, really poor goals to concede. Yeah. At any level, by the way, never mind a Scottish Cup semi final. Mm.
I know the defence take a lot of stick for that game, but Rangers were brilliant at pressing over the pitch last year. Didn't they? How many times Hibs just got the ball at their feet and put the ball in behind the Rangers? Last year, the front three would have been all over that. I've never seen Kent, Morelos, or who's the other front, Aribo, go and press the ball, get the ball back high up the pitch. Mm-hmm. I thought they were brilliant at last year.
That's pride in your own performance. That's in a desire to want to go and get the ball back. That's like, if Morello sets that off and goes, starts chasing, the rest all squeeze up as a unit and they start trying to get the ball back. But I feel like they don't have that person up, like, no saying it's Morello's fault because I'm not blaming him, but they don't have that one person who's going to stop the press for the rest of them to go. Because you can't just go pressing yourself because you just then get popped about. I don't want to go on here and sound like it's a crisis because it's not. They're still sitting top of the league and they've knocked out a semi-final cup, which can happen to any team. It's just, I think it's the build-up, Andy says, losing a goal to the last 5-6 games, and they've came back and won most of these games, but this time they couldn't have come back.
Martin Boyle was brilliant, wasn't he?
Mate, I've got him written down here. For anyone that's sitting on a bench at a team and think my career's done, mate, me and Boyle, he sat on the bench at Dundee. Sat on the bench at Dundee, right? Couldn't get a game. But I remember the day Tomo and James McPate came in to him and says, the gaffers want to speak to you. And it was Dundee that says to Martin Boyle, we're trying to get Alex Harris for Hibs. No disrespect to Alex Harris, a good football player. But I think he's playing at Berwick now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, things have just not worked out for him. And he says to Martin Boyle, can you go to Hibs? And Boyle was like, I love it here, man. I don't know if I want to go, but obviously I'm not playing. And Tomo and Jazz are like to him, mate, Hibs, massive club, man. What a chance for you to go there. Okay, you might not play straight away. But mate, wasn't he playing at Dundee? Dundee wanted Alex Harris, Martin Boyle had to go to Hibs, and look what's happened.
It's not even the turn of the year. He's scored 16 goals this year. 16 goals for club and country.
Did you see that in him, Si?
Being totally honest, Boyle was the one player I didn't want my team in possessions, mate. See, when I used to do possessions, he'd give the ball away at the time, but then you're going to an 11-11, mate.
Nightmare, isn't he?
He's just so hard to play. He's so direct. He's so quick. And he actually has got better at that side of his game. I watch him now, hold it up, link it. He's obviously been coached.
I thought Nisbet and him, what's the word, Simon? They've done...
Synchronised
very well together.
Dovetail.
See the way Nisbet, so one that's going to bring that in, hold it up, he flicks on the corner, and he's on his bike.
Nisbet's better with a partner, isn't he?
I think so, Simon.
I don't even know if it was his game plan or just the way the game panned out, but whatever it was, it worked out perfectly because they hit Rangers in the counter-attack 3-4 times in the first half. And then second half, they'll just resort. I think Hibs have been a team, the biggest thing for me under Jack Ross, because over the last 6, 7, 8 years, they've always been a good attacking team, and they've always got good attacking players. But I always think, under Jack Ross, they've progressively looked more solid, whether it's been a back three or a back four. And then, see, to be fair, I think Rangers could have played for another 20-30 minutes in that second half and no scored. Mm. I know that Conor Goldson chance at the last minute's a massive chance, but out with the, weren't they really creating much? It was just a sort of ball into the box and just falls to Goldson. So I thought Hibs defended really well, but obviously for a Rangers point of view, it's another poor showing in one of the cups.
Hallander's a big miss as well, mate. You 100%. See the ball's going behind. I think Hallander's the one who knows when to drop, who knows when to push up. I don't think Balogun's got the same positional sense.
Listen, I don't want to come on and start criticising boys, but I thought Balogun, there was a, I think it happened twice in the first maybe 10-15 minutes. And you know if Martin Boyle's playing up front, right? You know if any of the Hibs players, whether they're at the back of the midfield and they've got a yard of space and they look up, all they're going to do is try and put it in behind. Yeah. And I've said it all the time, what Phil Hallander always makes up in pace, he makes up for up there because he never gets caught in behind.
He knows when to draw it in.
And it was just an easy way for Hibs to get out under pressure. So I talk about, obviously, as I talk about Rangers pressing for the front. I do agree with you, but it's so hard. If I'm a midfielder, and I know that Hibs are just clipping it in behind us and getting in all the time, I'm not going to go and press. Because I know, see, when I press and he clips it in behind, they get an on goal and he run 80 yards back.
So it was like, surely if you press early enough, they don't have that time to then clip it in.
But you know what it's like, first time somebody hooks it in behind.
I don't know. I would be the thinking that I would like to think I could get my team up close enough that they wouldn't do it as often as they did.
Went Rangers front three up against Hibs' back three?
Maybe not quite as much as up against, but I would like to have thought that when, say, the goalkeeper gets the ball in the goal kick, you could put Morelos up, right, to stop and try and get it to the three. And then as it goes wide, you're two up. So that even if they do get the ball at their feet and try to clip it, they don't have time to put it in. It means they're making a pass under pressure, which might then allow a bit. I know you're saying in behind, but you're still talking about a 25, 30, maybe even a 40-yard pass in behind. If you're not at a level or a defender to actually step back and see that happening, to step back and give yourself, then you've got to be asking questions about that's how I see it. But I just think that
the can't always have a game pressure on the ball your back four needs to drop. Morelos wasn't pressing, he wasn't dropping off, and Rangers were still keeping a high line. Yeah. You need to draw.
Are you surprised Morelos started?
I am.
Mr. Carlo, his performance, I mean, I just found out yesterday as well that he scored a hat-trick when he went away with international and then scored another one goal away the next game. His performance with Motherwell was probably Rangers' best performance of the season, and he was a big factor of that. Morelos is honestly a big
player. But then obviously the Sakala one against Motherwell, brilliant hat-trick, and then obviously that credit merited his start the week after against
Bromby,
and he wasn't very good. So obviously they've looked at that performance positively and thought, right, okay, we'll bring Morelos back in, but I wouldn't get too caught up on this one performance yesterday with Rangers. At the end of the day, they've got a new manager.
It's been like that all year, Ken.
They've got a new manager coming in, and you would like to think he could come in and start ringing the changes a wee bit. Like, we've seen some interviews from players, which we'll obviously get to talk to. There's obviously something there that the players are feeling.
I tell you what, the first few games he's got under his belt has been tough.
Who has the fixtures?
They've got Sparta on Thursday, which is basically a game to get them through the next round. They've got Hibs at Easter Road. They've got Livy at the Tony Macaroni. They've got, I think it's maybe St Mirren at home. They've got Hearts at Tynecastle.
Ah, so it's a tough run of games.
Got, I think, Dundee United at home.
But if anything, there's a manager, that's the kind of run of games you're probably wanting coming into a new job. If you get off to a flyer with their games, I don't know. I just felt that Hibs yesterday probably wanted it more.
That's mad to think that, isn't it?
It's mad to think that, but
I think all the
things point to that, because when you've got your captain of the club saying it and then after interview game saying that we were 3-1 down, the game is over. It's all 45 minutes.
See that real lacking hunger, but I can't think who's talking about though. Because guys like McGregor, Arfield, Davies, they're not going to be like hunger.
You'd then into like hunger, wouldn't you?
Well, certainly wouldn't. I've never suffered from hunger in my life. But no, I just think that
the back three. I thought Cody was Hanlon and McGinn played Kent very well.
Hanlon was excellent.
Hanlon's great. I think Hanlon suits him better in the back three.
Do you right? What
just watched that? It yesterday. I thought that really suits him.
At the end of the day, Hibs are a decent side. Hibs have not been on a great run recently.
Lord of no.
So that performance has come out of nowhere. Hibs have had that international break to prepare for that. And Martin Boyle, hat-trick. When was the last time he had a hat-trick against Rangers? For any player?
By the way, I bet it was Ivan Sproul with Hibs as well.
Ivan Sproul, probably.
Oh, no, actually, Dembele, wasn't it? Dembele,
aye. But, nah.
Thought he would have known that. Will Van Bronckhorst be worried based on that performance? And should he have been doing it at halftime?
I think he, no, should have, I think he should have been doing it. I just couldn't understand it. When at halftime whistle goes and you zoom into the box and you see him stunned up, that's him away doing, and he just sits in the box. You're like, I just think with youth coaches, I'm like, that's when my thing was before the game. I was like, if they're picking a team, if I'm a player and a youth coach is picking a team and I'm going in it.
I must say, I'm very surprised that it was Dave McCallum on the side of the pitch and no Jermaine Defoe.
Aye, I would have to agree with that one.
Were they, so, because they were not obviously not to deal with the first team, were they? Because no. Jenner's obviously took all his staff away.
Yeah.
So they've obviously filled in, but I'm more surprised. Listen, obviously, maybe Van Bronckhorst has said to them, I'm only in, you have been there with all the players preparing for the game. But I still think he should have been there because he could get in the dressing, couldn't he?
See, again, it's hard to say because you
know, they said they did say yesterday, the permit, he was allowed in or something, they said it yesterday, but I still think his presence would have made a big difference. And even Roy McKay has done. See him?
Yeah, Roy McKay. Mate, Roy McKay was brilliant, man. Everyone remembers him at Bayern Munich, but do you remember him at Deportivo? I'm a wee bit older.
And Tristan?
Diego Tristan, Roy McKay, Jalmina played at midfield, mate.
Valeron.
Remember the Champions League face?
Who was old Brazilian? No, Aymar was Valencia.
Valencia Canizares, but do you remember the Champions League semi-final Deportivo came back for him?
No.
Do they know that?
Against
AC Milan.
That wasn't in the semi-final. The
Champions League, I swear to God.
Deportivo, were they in the final?
Quarter-final, I think it was.
Who was the old Brazilian guy who brilliant as hell for him?
Danielson.
Danielson was Real Betis.
It was Ronaldinho.
It was a double name, Mario Silva or somebody. He was unbelievable.
Roy McKay.
I couldn't believe I've seen him there.
Pearson's like a Scottish.
He's going to be
a
Dennis or something. It has to be.
Wait, what? By the way,
he's wanting the full Dutch backroom staff, so I think Bobby Pett is going to be the DJ.
I've seen him there.
And Mark Van Bommel's going to curl the boys' hair.
So wait, they want a Dutch tint at Rangers?
Well, I have heard that his press comes for the work rate that he's seen you putting in the red light district.
That's why he was disgusted yesterday. So I'm going to be in there showing him how to press properly. But no, listen, that was it. I mean, that backroom staff, my God, I mean, if Van Bronckhorst is a good appointment, Roy McKay coming in to inspire you.
I know.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, isn't it? And these guys have worked under all the Dutch coming through coaches. So that's one of the best coaching systems in the world, as you know, when you went out with the Ajax, maybe you talked to the Ajax coach.
Ajax quite, that was brilliant.
He said it was amazing. So these guys are in that. This might be stupid, but sometimes things happen with Gerard leaving. It might be even better with these guys that's coming in with that. I mean, the guy when they're leaving,
pedigree,
you're fucking fired.
See, at the end of the day, there's not any change to the Rangers squad or team. They're still the same group of players that obviously Gerard's left. So if Van Bronckhorst and Roy McKay comes in and gets a bolt out of them, who's to say they can't go and just push on and win the league comfortably? You know what I mean?
But are you saying, sorry, Kevin, were you surprised yesterday that he didn't get down?
I was surprised he never went down. If he was allowed to go down, I was very surprised.
I would like to think he would have probably said something before the game. Mm-hmm. I think he probably would have been in the dressing room maybe beforehand. If it were me coming over 2 days in, no having taken the boys' training, would have felt taking the team would have made any difference? Maybe put them under a wee bit of pressure. I don't know.
I think a manager.
He must have seen things in that first half that he wasn't happy with. You've got a chance to be a manager in the final of Rangers in your first season.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity
to get to make sure you get it.
I mean, who knows? Only ask
maybe him. He was on the board. Maybe he phoned him. Or you never know.
That's what I mean. Maybe you don't know. That's why it's hard to.
I know. Maybe if he gets manager a month, you boys can hear a chat and ask him the questions.
Well, wait, we were desperate to do Gerrard last year, but we weren't allowed.
Patched us.
He patched us or Rangers patched you?
Gerrard. I was on the phone.
Aye.
So he's not interested.
Could you say to him?
Did the Liverpool accent? That was brilliant.
I've never done it.
Case the Dutch accent.
Case the American man.
Harsh.
What?
Oh, it's so
no, it's good. That's
good. I hate accents.
Yes, boy.
That's fucking terrible.
Yes, boy.
Sound like the Grinch here.
What were we talking about there?
Don't know.
Gerard.
Steve. Oh, I know. I listen. I think it could be a good point, but I do think. I think of managers, if they're sitting there watching that. Guys, it's got that real fucking bit about them. Maybe make a thought, I'm going to go down there and sort that out. I don't know.
Alright.
But we don't know.
Since you, mate.
Andy, you're not a bit tired, did
you? I wanted to ask you this, right, because we had a discussion on the Koopman show. My co-host never backed us up because he shat it for Derek Ferguson, but Derek thinks that you need a Rangers man in the backroom staff. Where do you go along with
that? No.
No, because for me, Van Bronckhorst has played with Rangers, has won titles with Rangers. So if he doesn't know how to get a an understanding of how the club operates than who does. Mm. Jimmy Bell's still there. He can still get
that. He's put Jimmy in charge yesterday, didn't he?
No, but what my point is that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, how long was that Rangers on? Do you have any idea? Two, three years. Yeah. Within 3 years, he would have got an understanding of what it was supposed to, what it's to feel like to play for Rangers. What the understanding, of, what the expectation of the fans. So do you need somebody in there like a, who are we talking like? Somebody like an actual Nova, somebody like, what does he mean by that? Because if you can't buy into the Rangers' way in 3 years as a player, you're never going to get it.
I can understand where
Del Boy.
Derek's coming for if, like, if it's
call him Del Boy.
Del Boy's coming for if it's guys that have got the affiliation to Scottish football, they've never been over here, they don't really know like what the old firm's like. Yep. But I mean, like you say, he's been there 3 years, he knows what the expectation's going to be like, he knows you need to win every week, he knows what the media's like. And I think it's more important for him to have guys that he trusts and are on the same page as him in terms of style of play, or bring something different, but ultimately some guys that he knows is going to do a job for him.
He says he's going to be speaking to wee Dick quite a bit, so have you got his number?
He's got your number.
Wait, that was what I liked about Axel. We were asking about backroom staff and he's like, doesn't bother me who my backroom staff are.
Aye.
It's me, my beliefs, and they'll basically do what I tell them to do anyway, so it doesn't matter who it is. What about when he said he sat on a flight for 12 hours?
His flight,
he used to get called the death's chair because he would sit next to his assistant manager and no say a word the full flight, and it didn't bother me.
Like he just never spoke to him.
He says silence doesn't bother us.
You can kind of tell that though. He looks as if he's got to get his knee telly. He just goes home.
Sits on his telly and watches the couch.
Reads about 8 books, doesn't he?
I don't know if I've said that.
He does look like
that. I get that.
Could you do that? Sit on a flight for 12 hours and no talk?
No ball. I sit here for fucking an hour. I totally get that. Because, and then see the whole thing with the backroom staff. I think that's a wee bit, I would need to have somebody that I could trust, but at the same time it wouldn't matter because I'm with the thinking that...
Who do you trust, your Chinese delivery driver?
Trusting your life, Chinese,
didn't you? You get a manager job tomorrow, but generally who would you pick your assistant manager for your experiences in football?
Series, yeah.
Stephen Elliott. It's a great question,
probably would think about him because he's like mad into his coaching now, he's doing really well for himself down south, but... Yeah. I don't really keep in touch with any footballers.
It's going to be a jet, surely.
No.
Would you have to get a jet?
Nah, not at all. I win games. No, I always think that see training Monday to Wednesday, I think it's enjoyable. I think you've got to get players like,
what, is this on a full time way?
On a full time basis, yeah. Monday to Wednesday you're getting players enjoying the training, so they're like, and then a Thursday, Friday, then you start breaking things down. And a Thursday, Friday, that I always, the managers that I worked under, that's when they took over. The coach was just kind of there as a reference, but the coach took over on a Thursday, put his shape out there, we did all the bits and bobs, and then the Friday we had a bit of fun, ready for the game Saturday. So for me, having like backroom staff, like these in-depth coaches and stuff, whatever, I don't really buy into that. I think, because you know what it's like, you've all played, you enjoy training, see the training's good. You fucking do the drills really well because you know they're good drills.
So have you never had a manager that's done everything?
Nah.
Coaching, managing?
Nah. Ian Dowie would do it. Ian Dowie was very enthusiastic, but his assistant was...
what are you laughing at?
Just Ian Dowie, man.
I know. Ian Dowie's assistant was a guy called Frankie Bunn. His boy's a goalie for
something. That's right. Frankie Bunn played in Norwich or something, didn't he?
And he was a very good coach. And then Ian Dowie was Steve Keane, who's now the Hibs. He was a very good coach. So they had very good coaches, but when it came to a Thursday and a Friday, they took over. And Ian Dowie, see his knowledge of shape and things like that. Holy shit. Oh, fuck it.
Did he know you used to say coaching got in the way of shagging birds to Ian
Dowie? A big handsome motherfucker, weren't we?
That's the greatest comment I've ever had.
That's it, that's a chat.
He was really good. Like, he was surprisingly good. Don't know what he was like in the bedroom, but he was...
Imagine a manager coming out and said that.
This fucking coaching just gets
you're
me
right now.
You're
doing my head
and you're locked. You had the manager.
See, Nixon's the opposite of
me. Nixon.
Shagging Birds gets in the way of coaching. Stop that. Stop that right now.
Oh, bro.
Right, okay.
Oh.
I'll hand it to you, Steve. He's got a job in Motherhood. He'd take in as your coaching assistant. Serious coaching assistant.
Paul, don't. You can't say any of us.
Paul, don't mention you. You'd be there somewhere in spirit.
You can't say any of us.
I've got a few.
Is Jamie Murphy in yours? Did he start the analysis?
He did my analysis. I've got a few, to be fair. Lee Wallace, Kenny. But if I had to pick one, I'd maybe say Scott Arfield.
Would you, mate? Aye.
Because I think everyone's got different beliefs of what they want for a coach or that. But I think he's got similar thoughts on the way football should be played, but he's different to me. Like, so we would be able to bounce off each other. Yeah. If he disagrees with something that I would do, then he would come back at me. So then I get rid of him.
I think as a manager, you've always experienced it, Simon, being a first team coach and stuff, and having an opinion. You have to be able to take that opinion on board.
And the coaches, definitely.
And be able to think, has he got a point here or there?
Yeah.
Because ultimately, the end goal is to try and win a game of football.
Who's yours?
We went to Scotland game on the last week, mate. Honestly, it was like fucking sitting next to Rigo Saki with Charlie.
Big Charlie, yeah.
Wasn't
he? You're right, mate. He's non-stop interview.
That's why there was two seats at the back, and there were all the kids at the front. I thought, I'm fucking sitting with the kids because I'm not listening to fucking Coach Carter here and fucking
Jose Mourinho.
The two of them had the notepads out.
See
when Charlie brought out the SFA notebook, that was it for me. I was like, I'm not listening to this.
By the way, I'm reading Rigo Saki's book just now. Unbelievable.
Is it?
You got to talk about pressing.
4-3-3.
He invented it, mate. 4-3-3, the press.
He invented the press,
he invented it? Well, he claims he did. The 1-2 European Cups.
By the way, here's one for you. Ann said that he was the one that started the inverted fullbacks ahead of Pep.
Said that he was doing it before Pep was doing it.
Football's nothing different, mate. It just, everyone thinks they invent this new formation, they invent this new style.
It's like Mark Skinner says, football
zone 14
comes in cycles.
So glad you said that, Andy, because we were having this conversation yesterday at the charity match. I was involved in a lot of ex-players and they all said the same thing. Like, football's never actually changed. It's just buzzwords and different ways of describing it. It's what has changed.
I had Goltz's interview, he's been getting a bit of stick.
I'm very surprised about it.
What, the interview, the stick?
No, the interview. I like players being honest, but what I'm surprised about what I said earlier is about the bit where he said the lack of hunger. And I know the performances haven't been the way they were last year, but...
Lack of hunger after what, winning one league?
I know, it doesn't make sense to me, but I mean, I look at the players in that team, I kind of see where the lack of hunger would come from. Maybe it's players... I don't know who that's aimed at, because certainly know the senior players, they when they do that. Maybe it's just... It's that feeling he gets, maybe. I don't know. I found that.
You can't imagine guys like Alan McGregor, Steve Davis, Arfield,
guys like that.
But, do you know what I will say, right? And I'm not trying to defend them at all, but.
Well, don't then.
We've all been in a situation where we've lost a big game, right? And you can't think of anything worse than going out to do the fucking press. You can't do it worse. And you can see in his face before he even starts speaking that he's filled with emotion already. And I just think he's made an ass of what he wanted to say. I don't think. Listen, what he said is, it doesn't sound good, does it? Let's be honest. But I don't think that's the way he's meant to come across, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think he'll watch back that interview this morning and he'll think, fucking hell, man, I didn't mean it like that. Do you know what I mean? I didn't mean for it to come out like that.
I think the 3-1 one that he said, I think he was meaning sorry, he's always all talking, but we're 3-0 down.
And the game's done before that.
I think the hunger thing, right? I don't like it because you can't be questioning it. Like, talk about yourself. You can't just say, I can't sit and say you've lost hunger. I don't know. But the 3-1 at half time and the game's done, he doesn't mean that surely because how is the game done?
I think he means done, but he's like, we've got a fucking winning hell of a time ahead.
Yeah.
But he probably doesn't want to come out and give cliche dancers either.
After the game,
he didn't want to just come out and say,
you've just been beat.
Because then the fans will say, cliche dancers, do you know what I mean?
Aye.
I think he was including himself in that thought and all the criticism as well. I don't think he was blaming other people.
I think if you look at it really quite in depth, it, whether he made it up, whether he got his words mixed up or whatever, there was something in that interview that would suggest that there's something not quite right, and he's got an opinion of that. That's what it's telling you. What it's telling you is that he never chucked anybody under the bus or individuals under the bus, but there's something not right somewhere that indicates there's maybe people maybe not pulling their weight where they should be. Mm. I think that's what came out of that interview.
Yeah.
Because he's probably, when he said, we're 3-1 down and that's the game over, he's maybe thinking this game, I have 3-1 down because some of the players in this team have given up.
Yeah.
So there's something in it, but at the same time...
But he also says no following instruction as well.
Aye, cool. Well, that's the simple instructions. But the thing is that it might be a good thing in the long term, because if the manager's watching that interview, he might come to Conor and say, well, what's your opinion? You're the captain. You're like the vice-captain of the club, whatever it is. What do you see? You tell me what you think is going on and we fix that problem. So,
but he should have probably kept that in-house. But then again, teams look at that going, well, Rangers have lost fucking hunger, let's get after
Simon,
them.
Verbal diarrhea when you come out and do an interview sometimes. Yeah. Some people are great at speaking, some people just tell the media exactly what they want to hear, and some people just make things up and it doesn't come across the right spot. I'll be guilty of that in my own self back in the day.
Even on this date sometimes you come out and you just say, oh, I didn't even actually mean what I
if I'm a corner goals and just forget about it, man, and you're into training the day, big game during the week.
Fucking massive.
Exactly. Just that's a good thing about football. And especially being in Europe, your next game's only a few days away to rectify the problem from the Sunday. So if Rangers get the win on Thursday night, I'd still be gutted in on the cup final, but potentially going to the last 16 of the Europa League. I don't know.
But can they date with him, Marty? It's a big question.
Strange
timing.
Strange timing, isn't it? Well, is it strange timing? Was a new manager maybe came in and he thought...
What's his role at Rangers in? Is it with the youth?
Headstands, isn't it? He was teaching on the boys.
I've seen him doing a few things. Kept it going.
I don't know. What was he? What was he, 20? 20s?
No, I don't even know what the role was, but it was like overseen shit or something. I don't think he took a team in the youth setup anyway.
I didn't know that.
But he probably had a role that just was seen as days out.
He's just seen football totally different now he watches it. He's standing on his head,
doesn't he? I've seen you be like, Bielsa goes right down, didn't he? He likes to watch upside down.
Yeah, you've got to give him a wee bit of respect the fact he became the manager, right? And then,
or do you think that's maybe why he's noticed it?
And then when he got parked out, he didn't actually leave the club. He went down and just dropped down to the lower, to the youths and that. Most times when you get sacked from the first team job, actually you're at the club and you're gone. So to actually get demoted and keep yourself obviously ticking over and doing whatever he was with the youths, you've got to give him a wee bit of respect for that. The guy only tried to do his best. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he'll get a job in football somewhere else, no bother. I'm sure he moved his family up here, so he's maybe looking for an opportunity to move back.
See, fair odd jokes to say, he is actually like a nice guy.
Is he?
Aye. But he made a with that headstand. No, honestly, but I wish him all the best.
Aye.
He's, I think he's been there 5 years now or something like that.
Is that what it is?
And I know it's not really what the Rangers fans want to hear, because they're all about the first team and how they're doing. But the youth system has improved a lot over the last few years. Start to see boys coming through. Now that they're in this sort of B league and they've gone travelling over, playing in big tournaments and doing well. So I think the youth setup's been better since he's come in.
Will Patterson play quickly? That's the last one. Yes or no? Will he come into the team under Van Bronckhorst?
Yes.
No, I think he was. I think he has to.
Okay. Right, you want to talk about
Celtic? Can I ask you, Simon, what did you make of the Celtic game?
I've never seen it. Travelling back for Peter. I was kind of watching it on a half phone, but fucking kept stopping and starting again.
St Johnston are a real, real tough game. They love Hampden.
They're a good
smell
team,
of Hampden. They love the grass. They love the smell of everything about Hampden. We Cam Davison, we are Jacob. Once
you
again, too big for him.
Was it?
Again, aye. We didn't cheat the suit, but energy got too big for him. But listen, it was a good performance. Stuffy again, not a lot of chances for Celtic, but then you bring on one of the greats of Scottish football ever.
One of the greatest?
He has to be. Listen,
big game player, isn't he?
Oh, massive, mate. And I feel that because when I've come on and I've said that a lot of times, you feel like he's taught again, he's talking shite. Maybe I come out with a lot of shite. So then this maybe transfers into that shite. No, at all. This guy is. He's a great, he realised a Celtic. I don't know what the next step is at a statue.
He basically ended your career at Celtic, didn't he?
I think it's a statue.
You think it's a statue?
I think.
So you're just talking Callum Davies on the side? Dave McKay, definitely shockwaves in the hair, wasn't it?
Dave McKay,
Dave McCallum.
Just before he went out.
Full tub behind for the big day, wasn't it?
That was the wettest I looked, so VO2 and
everything. Moose.
So James Forrest.
Oh, unbelievable.
Is it surprising that he's no starting game? I know he's been back in, 3-4 weeks?
I think they've maybe just been patient with him, because he has had an injury for a while now, and I don't think they were, because I think what had happened was maybe last season, maybe at the start of this season, we're bringing him back, and he was maybe then going back out again, having a few setbacks. So I think it's just important to get him right. And I think it's like a new signing for Celtic. Mm-hmm. I really do. Even last season, when Celtic also had a nightmare, but he was missing a lot of it.
Yeah.
And he's a massive, I mean, you see him, he comes and scores that goal. And then I had a stat that's only... In Celtic's history, it's only Larson's got a better goal contribution with assists and goals. He's second to Larson.
No way.
There you go. heard that.
That's what I love about James. Even when he's not playing great, he always knows he's going to get a chance. He always wants to score goals. He gets himself in the ball. He's one of the wide players that stay out wide. He wants to get in and score goals. His numbers are
He's a proper numbers winger, isn't he?
Yeah.
And not to take away because he's still a brilliant player, but it's like you said, even when he's not playing well, he always comes up with something, doesn't he?
He gets fit, he plays ahead of Abada.
Yeah, I think so. Abada's still only 19-year-old, isn't he?
Nah,
yeah, good guy to learn off of.
Has he got enough time, though, like designing this statue?
I don't know how that'll go.
Can he?
How long do you think the shoulders on that statue would take? The rest of the body would take about a week, and then the shoulders would take about 2 years.
It shouldn't take that long, because I don't need to do the neck. It's the neck.
Just like a tennis ball on top of the body, isn't it?
Aye. Might look like he's Bill Allen. Who knows?
He'll suit. I think the way Ange plays, he'll suit him as well, because he'll get a lot of, as Ange said, he plays that way so that his wide players get 1v1 against their fullback.
But no, we've got to give a wee bit of credit to St Johnson. Good defence of their trophy.
St Johnstone are a right good team. In any one-off game, St Johnstone are a right good team.
I think in certain situations in the match on Saturday, had players made better choices on the ball, they might have caused Celtic some real problems. I think one of that you mentioned earlier, Stephen, we were talking beforehand, did Ali Crawford. Was it Ali McCann?
Ali Crawford.
He's trying to shoot for 25 yards, 40 yards. He could have just passed it to, what do you call the boy up front?
I was imagining I took him straight off. He was only one of
them. The boy stays in steps, what's his name? He's playing with Rangers fast.
Michael Hallam
could have played in him and it would have been 1-on-1, but Celtic's obviously got themselves to a final and it'll be an interesting final. It'll be the old final, isn't it?
The great final.
He has done well and just getting to a final.
Yeah.
But again, what he took over in that summer and what they were last year.
You were fearing the worst for this season, weren't you? Mm-hmm. You've seen the squad of players, they finished, how many points behind Rangers last season. And then you're getting into the season and you were knowing that we're going to lose three of their best players, albeit they weren't very good last season, but they're still big players for Celtic. And you're thinking, how are they going to? They've recruited well. And I think January's going to be even more exciting as well with the players coming in.
I'm just telling you, aren't he?
I thought it was a few signings. Yeah.
Robbie Winters
is coming.
Hamish French.
The striker, wasn't it? Tom Boyd, back, right back, isn't it? Tom Boyd. For Alston.
The ambassador.
Tommy Sheridan.
Tommy Sheridan goals, isn't it? Joe Hart in 2 miles.
Yeah, wait for it. He played yesterday.
Who's Sheridan?
Tommy Sheridan, right back.
Have you seen his podcast of Frank McGarvey?
Mate, I was the ref had a shocker, right? The referee yesterday, God help me, had a shocker. Boy crossed the ball. It wasn't even out of play in the goalie side. That's it, ref. And he gave a thing and I said, F's sake, ref. Tommy went, you're running, you're not there a wee bit too loud, Kevin. I says, Tommy, fucking hell, man, pot kettle black.
Did he say that?
It's a catastrophe, Tommy. It's a catastrophe.
But just on decisions, it was Martin Boyle penalty. Better mention, otherwise we'll get.
Do you know it?
No.
Right?
No, I don't think it is,
When I first watched it, I was like, it's a small well penalty when I first watched it, but then at half time, when they obviously
slowed it down.
I think Boyle's been.
He's been clever, 100%.
But I'm Steve Davis against me, you're raging.
Stephen Davis doesn't even try and make a tackle.
He's had four or five of them against us this year, so it must be the new law. What is it? Have you touched somebody in the box?
But if that's in England, then they check VAR, are they still getting that?
No. I think they are, mate.
Do you?
I think they're getting that, aye. I would give that as a penalty.
All right.
Do you think it is?
Like I say, if it was me, Steve Davis, I would be raging that it was against us, but
Boyle's got his body in a position to protect the ball, and Stephen Davis has come together, and all he's done is nudge him, and as he's nudged, he's probably not nudged him that hard, but Boyle's made the most of it.
I'd say Boyle nudges Davis, though. Do you know what I mean? He goes in, but listen, strikers have done it for the last 50 years. That's nothing different. Like, they try and be clever and buy their fouls and just give a penalty, but in my opinion, it wasn't. But listen, I'm saying I don't think it was a penalty. I don't think it reflected the game. Hibs were more than deserving of winning the game based off of both teams' performance anyway.
See, Boyle could kick the ball so hard, mate. Oh my God, I've never seen a wee guy kick a ball like that. Him and Matt Ritchie are the two, mate.
Is he feeling like up your
Montrose.
Way?
Montrose. Great boy, mate. You'd love him. See, that out and that loves it. Yeager gets fucking.
He's from Montrose.
How's he end up in Australia?
Up Aberdeen with. Fuck knows. Something to do with Big Ange, wasn't it?
He's not Scottish, though, is he?
Who, Boyle? He's Scottish. He's been at Aberdeen, Montrose, sort of. He played in Montrose, went to Dundee. He's from Aberdeen. But
it's
he loves
it. It's not a Scottish accent, is it?
Mad Aberdonian accent.
Do you think he was like a guy, mate?
No, I don't know why. I thought he was like Northern Irish or Irish or something.
No, he's Scottish. Great lad. Delighted for him.
Some fire.
Right, predictions for the final.
I think Celtic will win.
2-1, Celtic.
2-1, Celtic.
I don't know.
3-1, Celtic.
I'll sit on the fence on that. I know, but I just think that if Hibs, what did Celtic do recently? They start the games really fast, and I think Hibs will. I think Hibs now they've got Doidge back. I think they'll give Celtic a right good run for the money.
Wow. Okay.
I think it'll be a good game.
What do you think, Simon?
I think it'll be. But I do agree. I think it'll be a close game. Right. Ojo's red card. Do you see it?
Yep.
Absolutely embarrassing for the fan, by the way. Embarrassing.
What's worse, the fan that pushed him or the wee dickhead that's chucking the pie at him?
But
he didn't even
throw his full pie. He just broke a wee bit.
Because he was. Honestly, man, fuming. See, that's my boy. I gave him a football. I'm watching him thinking, I'm dragging him back up the road and I'm going to make a fool of him because that's embarrassing.
Tam Coates thought the provocation was peculiar.
What was the actual deal?
He refused to say the Aberdeen player's name. Not to do with what happened, but he says he physically can't say three letter words. He says it was my Van Hesselink had speaking with it all day.
It was a very dark moment in Scottish football from an Dundee United fan's perspective.
What is he thinking, man?
What did he do?
So Ojo's ran kind of out the pitch. The guy's just got up at his seat and went, fuck you.
Right.
Ojo's went back, not even done anything to him, and then gets a yellow card and then a red card.
What a sad.
That is a shambles.
I wanted to tweet all weekend about Bobby Madden, right? But because
but
he's
again,
a friend
Bobby's
of the show.
Bobby's just following the rules, though.
Bobby's following the rules, but Simon, surely at some point.
Common sense comes out.
Common sense has got to take over. And see if Bobby gets hauled up in front of the SFA. Everybody's getting Bobby Madden stick now for what he's done. So had he made the right decision and not booked Ojo, and he gets hauled up in the SFA. And see, he misses a match forever for punishment for making a poor decision. At least the people will say, you did the right thing, ref. Yeah. But to do it the other way, because that's what you're supposed to do.
Oh, say that again?
That's what you're supposed to do.
Is it not usually that?
Ah, yeah, I know.
I felt sorry for Ojo because I thought he was actually having a decent game.
Again, feel sorry for Stephen Glass as well, man.
Stephen Glass, that's what I mean. If they have 11 men on the park, they might go in and win the game. They've ended up losing it because.
See his interview after the game, Stephen Glass.
Did he kind of backtrack?
Stephen Glass went through his play.
He said he's disappointed in the feels if he's let the team down, and he kind of has.
He kind of has. So you say this is like I feel like he's let the team down.
He's never done anything.
Maybe he's not noticed it. Maybe he thought something's happened.
I think he said that by the letter of the law, as a sitting booking, I think he obviously like us thinks how can he get booked for that? But then he came out and says, but he kind of has let the team down. And I was like,
no, Faddy
made a good point.
By a guy pushing him in front of him and then gone back saying, what the fuck are you doing?
Faddy made a good point.
Who did you just mention on the show?
I know, it's all right. He made a good point in terms of. Because what he's saying is to get another yellow card, you've got to provoke the fans, right? But the boy was going for the corner, free kick of his name, and momentum took him into the crowd. So he hasn't deliberately went into the crowd to provoke a rammy. I hope this guy gets like banned for life for watching football because it's the least he deserves.
Andy, were you playing tonight? Tav at Easter Road, with Tav?
Why are we talking about that? Was that the one that? Oh, aye.
Fan came on.
That's an odd one. Did James Tavernier get booked? He didn't.
No,
I can't remember.
So it seems to be one rule.
That guy actually came onto the pitch and grabbed him, didn't he? Like, tacked punch
him. It was on the pitch, wasn't it?
Was it?
Did he take a throw in?
I can't mind actually. I can't remember if it was taking a throw in or it was at like a half time or full time because I remember not even noticing that it actually happened, and then you see all the. You see all the videos and that after where the guys actually came on and proper tried to have a go and it's like, something's coming in football, right, where something's going to end up really bad with something like that. A fan's going to go on thinking they can provoke somebody and somebody's, like, honestly, I genuinely think it's going to come to a point where it's going to end up a proper riot, like a proper
Would fight. I not be right in saying that did somebody not get hit last night with a water bottle?
Francis Mitchell, isn't it?
Mate, see, 2 weeks ago, did you not see the boy who was at St Mirren when the fan came on?
That's right.
And he proper shoved him to the deck.
Really?
Do you not remember that?
Yeah. That's right, I saw that.
The player shoved the fan to the deck?
No. St Mirren had scored.
St Mirren versus... Was it St Mirren Rangers?
It was at St Mirren.
St Mirren Rangers?
Was it St Mirren Rangers?
Because St Mirren went 1-0 up, didn't they?
Aye.
And then something happened to come on and was it the player pushed the...
Aye, the fan came on the pitch and tried to jump on the players and the boy proper shoved him to the deck.
That's right.
It was like... over the last few years, there's been a few scenarios where this keeps happening. And you fear the worst that something bad is going to happen soon.
See that wee guy that pushed Ozil? They should go and get him in a room with Ozil, shut the door and see what he does.
How big is then?
Fucking honestly, man. What goes through your mind to get him push a player, man?
But because you know, I'll tell you exactly why, because he probably doesn't think anything's going to happen back to him. Aye. See if he sees Ozil in the middle of the street, is he going to go out and push him? No. He's not.
That guy got 100 days in jail. 10-year football ground ban should this fan.
Oh, has he?
No, the guy. The Hibs one.
Oh, I think the punishment's got to match the same thing. He's assaulted the player. See, at the end of the day, as harsh as that may sound, you don't walk down the street and just randomly push somebody in the middle of the street to because he's trying to provoke a response. And for me, like, this is why this type of thing never leaves football, because that guy's did what he's did, and then the wee guy with the young kid with the pie chucking bits of pie at the player. They see these adults doing it and they think it's acceptable. So if they're doing it, we'll just copy them, and it just never changes. And it's just going to be the wee Neds going up, going through the thing. They're just going to keep doing it, and that's like it's a hard one for the governing bodies to eradicate.
Man for life.
You look like a pusher, and I think you'd be a big pusher.
Nevis.
I know exactly what I'd have done if he'd have pushed me. I know exactly what I'd have done. I certainly wouldn't have been able to walk away and do it. I'd have
busted greeting.
I'd have just busted. No, I'd have just busted.
But if he pushed you, he'd probably have broke his hands.
No, he wouldn't. He'd have got busted. That'd have been it.
Yeah,
he'd have got busted. Big man's on it,
didn't
he? That's how I just.
Imagine you got huckled out after it.
I didn't know.
No, but you'd ask to get handcuffed, wouldn't you?
Beg you, right. A baton.
Pink fluffy ones. We got any of these pink fluffy ones?
I'm swiftly moving on. Pink ones.
You got a bed you can.
I know. Nah, I used to use the school ties.
Right, that's you in the cell now, Kev. We'll take it. No, can you keep the handcuffs on in the cell? But bring it in there. A wee bit.
Actually, I didn't get the real police ones because the wee kids ones were too.
You've been outstanding, Adrian.
The kids ones.
He's
you
on one.
He doesn't deserve
I'm actually
that.
A wee bit scared of him.
He doesn't deserve a fluffy handcuffs. I just
see things and I just think I don't like.
Don't like stuff like that, do you?
No, I don't, because that boy's trying to make a football career out of it, and he's been sent off, and he's probably going to get a game ban. Is there any chance he's going to get his yellow card rescinded? No, because the letter of the law says that it's the right thing to do. I'd like to see a wee bit of common sense, a wee bit of decency brought into this, and that boy get back to.
You're right, Tommy. If Ozil went to that boy's work and just went up to him and shoved him, he'd get to jail.
Yeah. Sure would.
Have you ever reacted to any fans?
No.
Have you not? No. Yeah. Are you okay? But like, I mean, as nobody hitting you, but if somebody's gave you a bit, you just give it back, wouldn't you?
I don't know, it's never happened. You played Millwall for me, and there for me were subs, and Alan O'Brien got a guy next to me got abused, mate, and he was like, fuck this, mate. Never warmed up for the full game. He was shitting himself.
Oh, did he?
Millwall, mate, the ground's there, mate. Like, that big guy could fucking grab me, haul me into that stadium and punch fuck at me, and nobody would even know it.
We played Millwall away. Kevin Muscat, he started throwing tackles in like ridiculous, like they were naughty. He should have been sent off. I remember somebody saying to me, I can't remember who it was, maybe Gary Beano, that was saying to me, Kyle, see me score, just like run around and cut your ears, they fucking love it down here. And I knew that Millwall were bad. And I actually did score, and I fucking cut my ears. I swear to God, man, the fans like basically chased me around the stadium. Yeah. And then afterwards, I thought, I'm not getting out of here alive. Like, I honestly thought,
mate,
I'm
that's what
die.
That people think, like, Millwall's like a fixture. No. Like, see, when you arrive, mate, it's like 50.
See, when you arrive up in the bus, you get the wee guys giving you the fingers and all that. You're going, pulled it like now, and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, why did you
have Millwall scared? See, if you played that?
Nah, a few times.
Can you feel it turn when you're playing?
You get that feeling of, oh shit.
We played there once and Leroy Lita scored like a winner about like 5 minutes ago and gave it a pure mad celebration. We got locked in the stadium for about 2 hours.
Did you,
eh? We were like, we were all waiting at the front.
Jimmy, I can tell the great story when he was the manager, man. I had to sleep in his office one night because they waited the full night for him to come out when he was the manager.
Oh my God.
I had to sleep in his office.
Fuck's sake.
Takes a brave man.
Mate, do you know what I watched? See, saying that, I never watched this the other day. You must have like watched it, seen like the old Neil Warnock team talks and all that.
Oh, mate.
Get in the shower, Danny, you make me sick.
Make me feel sick. can't even look at you, make me feel sick.
Amazing.
Have you seen the one where they go to Millwall and Kevin Muscat?
On the pitch. That was fucking Muscat's fault.
Muscat and Paddy Kenny fight the tunnel, they both get sent half, and Jack Elker goes and goal for the second half.
No, I've not seen it.
No,
Sheffield end up beating them 2-1.
Aye.
And Warnock now he goes on and shakes every player's hand. He's mic'd up. Every Millwall player goes, that's Muscat's fault. That's Muscat's fault.
No, but he actually says, you deserved that. You deserved that. Muscat's fault. You deserved that.
Every player.
Brilliant.
Does anyone when he's in the dressing room shaking his in player's hand and somebody's touching their cocks? He's like, oh no, I'm not.
No, he goes, hands are full of shit, gaffer. No, I'll leave it
there.
Have you ever played at Bramall Lane against a Neil Warnock side and heard him rant afterwards?
No, I've not played. I've not played against Neil Warnock.
We played Sheffield United one Saturday and I scored an 85th minute winner diving header. We were down to 10 men and we came in and we were fucking buzzing because we thought we just stole 3 points. And heard him going off. I thought he was actually like booting the wall down. I thought he was going to come to your dressing room. It was fucking, you know, the big silver skips that boots come in. They were being fucking tossed everywhere. And I'm like, oh, I was like, oh,
he, like we speak about a lot of managers. He could be my favourite manager of all
time. I'd love to.
You need to get him on.
I think he could be my favourite of all time.
Get him in an interview.
See that one where Chelsea equalised against Cardiff 5 minutes ago and they draw one each and he just goes in front and he just stands in front of the referees like that. He's like 5 minutes like that in front of the refs.
He comes to Scotland every year with the caravan.
Right, massive news for Manchester at the weekend. The women's team got beat again 2-0.
Aye, zone 14 wasn't they working out?
I think they defended zone 14 not too bad. It was zone 18, I think, the fault. No gritty enough.
No grit.
So they're practicing zone 18 this week.
He's getting one of the council gritters into the training ground this week, mate.
Sure, his football comes in the cycle, so.
Maybe he's got to be an interim manager for Manu.
Imagine, mate.
A bit rough.
Manu should just go full banter and appoint him.
Ah, it would be amazing.
Been doing it for the last year anyway, hasn't
he? That would be amazing.
Right, Ollie sacked.
I don't know if we missed something, mate, Solskjaer. Is he a baby? I can't quite work it out, mate. I can't work it out. Like,
he did some crying at the weekend,
he's going out to the fans and Fernandes is like that. See, Fernandes, put your fucking finger up your ass and shut up. Day out in the pitch.
I know.
Day out in the pitch.
See, if you beat 4-1 for Watford, you'd be like to the boys, get in that fucking dressing room now, man.
Yeah, honestly. No. He's a muppet, that Fernandes. I used to love him, but he's really, really annoying me. Honestly, God.
He had an absolute shock.
Even Ronaldo cut one back to Fernandes and he probably
ran right David.
And then you could see Ronaldo just shaking his head as if to say.
And then fucking big Maguire and all. Doing that v Andorra and he's
definitely meant to cup his boys, so didn't he?
Aye, 100%. He's just a bit excited, isn't he? But he's got the ball right, and see if he paused that and went to somebody, what giant happens? He's got the ball at his feet and there's nobody doing about him. 3 seconds later, he gets red carded. The guy, mate, he's a captain of Man U.
I know, mate, it's embarrassing.
And yet they keep leaking at things that he's no fit. They're saying that Eric Bailly's fell out with the manager because he keeps playing Maguire's no fit. Let's not give us he's no fit. Fucking bullshit. Honking.
Eric Bailly's got a cheek, mate, because he's rash as fuck, man.
But he's having
the guy scores own goals, but kicks people on the head.
See, man, you're right. The man, you know, look at Chelsea last season and go like that. Frank Lampard was in a job a year and a half. He done got in the Champions League the first season. The second season, they spent a lot of money. They weren't doing that bad. They had a bad run. Bang, out you go, get a top manager in. They go and win the Champions League. And now they're one of the best teams in the world. It current forms, you know what I mean? Did they know what, chat? How many managers are Man United going to miss? Fergie met Pep. In New York, a meeting. Klopp might have been about. Who knows? Tuchel's been away. Neville keeps going up with this. Conte doesn't fit Man U. What are you talking about?
Man U might not fit Conte, but Conte will soon get Man U fit in the way he wants to play them. That's how it works, is it not?
See, that Reguilón said it's been the worst, hardest week of his life under Conte.
Jesus, Conte's interview yesterday.
John Terry speaks about him quite a bit. Says, like, while he was a manager, he says, the hardest training I've ever done. It's like, but I've never been so fit. But
trick players could no react to that well though.
I don't like Man U players would.
No, they wouldn't.
But see, ultimately,
but what do they react well to Man United players?
Just get rid of them if you don't. But that's the stage of how bad they've been.
See, that's the thing. Like, I can understand where clubs will have a style, they'll have like a philosophy where they always want to appoint managers that suit that. But I don't think Man U have one.
No,
you can talk about Man U 10, 15 years ago, Gary Neville saying he doesn't suit Man U. He doesn't suit Man U. What? Man U don't have an identity. They did 10, 15 years ago. They've had 6 managers since then. Yeah. And every one of them have tried to do a different thing. Boys try to be defensive.
Yeah.
Mourinho try to be defensive. Solskjaer, I mean,
Louis van Gaal's army.
And fuck knows what Solskjaer's trying to do because they change shape every week. And I know change shape doesn't matter, but they change their philosophy every week. Their style changes no matter who they're playing against. You see, you're Man U, but I actually think a Conte is what they need. I think they need something right that makes Fernandes, Pogba, Ronaldo fit in a team. They need to work hard. World-class players that they need to work hard, right? But mate, they're conceding 2-3 goals a game.
And some of the goals
I like Rodgers in that, mate, right? But I don't think Rodgers is the right man.
You know,
I don't think. I don't know. I just think a Pogba continues to be him the way he is.
I think he would improve them though. I think he would improve them.
Oh, tactically and formation wise.
I mean, these big personalities. I mean, he's mean big personalities. He's. I mean, you need. I think they're at the stage where see if they're no good, they'll need to get guys like Pogba in that. Yeah.
But look how good Pogba was under Conte at Juventus. So what's Gary Neville talking about?
I know.
Juventus played great football under Conte.
I don't know what this is all about. This is if Conte's a dinosaur.
Even at Chelsea, when he was at Chelsea, his football was brilliant.
For how good Pogba is, right, and he's world class. he's been nowhere near the level he should be for like 3-4 years.
But maybe
he goes through spells.
Like,
but
maybe a manager like Conte coming in, maybe he's been had so many managers at Man U. But maybe a manager like Conte coming in, maybe would get the best. I don't know.
Asking professional footballers at the level of Man United and the money they get a week to work hard. If you can't get them to work hard, you're fucking fighting a very hard battle, eh? Because that's the least. Use a lot of experience. See when you say things like, for a fucking right good pre-season, how good does it feel going into the first lot of league games and you feel proper fit? And you get through 90 minutes and you're still wanting to go more and your body's recovering well and you're ready to go again on a Tuesday. A fucking good feeling. It looks like Man United don't have that. It looks like they're just toiling through games and because they're not maybe at the levels, like simple things like when it goes to a winger, you're wanting your fullback to get out there and stop and crossing the ball. They're jogging it. Like, see that Wan-Bissaka? See the desire to want to go and get the ball.
I know, and that's what he's good at. Defending jogging it. Even his interview, the fact that he's done an interview after he's been sacked, right? Everyone's saying, what a nice guy, but see him great. I'm not being harsh, right? But that's why you're not a man. That's why you'll not be a Man United manager. Would you see Conte or Greeting?
Pep Greeting.
Do you know what I mean?
Marino,
we cannot replace him. Mate, it's you that's releasing him. Keep him then.
But we all in that, it's time to go. But the thing is, they've missed all the top managers, so who do you get in? The next manager?
Ten Hag, mate. Please.
Mate, the average. They scored 190 goals. No. 500 and something goals in a... Ah, fuck no.
In so many games.
It's an average of 4 goals a game or something since he's been at
Ajax.
But as you know how hard it is to leave Amsterdam.
He'll really struggle. Maybe a massive
downer. Jack, you have a massive downer when he leaves?
Probably been a downer for years.
Are you still on a downer?
Ex-Celtic kid, Eric Den Haag.
Spins.
How much is it?
No, I can't get it.
50 G's.
I never realised that he'd been under Guardiola at Man City.
Who?
Bayern Munich, sorry, Ten Hag.
Oh, did it, was he?
No.
Do you know what? I'll say it again, Simon. I know this is where me and your relationship can really, really
deteriorate.
I mean, again, I watched Man City yesterday and I watched a lot of people.
John Stones was brilliant yesterday, mate.
So was Rudiger, and he's got to Bayern. Big door.
No, he's not.
He is?
Nah,
he is. He's a bit of sign. Kukos coming out, slap him, but desperate to keep him, but he's contract. So, anyway, John Stones will be anywhere near Bayern. but old Klopp and Pep, Simon, I watched Liverpool.
John Stones was brilliant yesterday.
No, he was brilliant. But I say, I watched Klopp, Liverpool v Arsenal, and I watched Pep. Pep's a genius and all that, but I much prefer Klopp. That.
I prefer watching Liverpool.
Man City.
Oh, to Man City, I prefer Chelsea to both.
What?
I love Chelsea, mate.
Mate, see, Chelsea.
You watched Leicester, mate.
I've not.
Mate, nobody goes to Leicester and bashes them like that.
That was embarrassing.
Leicester couldn't get out of the half.
I've not seen a Rodgers team get played like that. But see, I think Liverpool's the only team in the world where they can literally, there can be 15 minute periods where they absolutely bombard them and just.
Obliterate them.
That's a word. Blitz them. And I mean, Trent said that when it was like a red blur hit them.
What about him putting on his Instagram? How may I assist you?
Aye, I know.
What a player, doesn't it? Do that. That's the
it's on Sky every fucking day. You don't need to tell us.
What's the worst thing for me on Twitter and these social media platforms is when the players put up an apology up if they've lost or thanks for the fans today, great result. And I'm thinking, just fucking.
I'll tell you something now, we weeded that out because that was rife in the game and then we brought it up on here and it.
I was keeping back in.
Who's the king? The king,
doesn't he? There's one guy. Who?
Forrest that's why I like James Forrest.
King, it doesn't
never
does he's talking for the fans own the
but
pitch.
I see the fact of the matter is, right, fans love that. I know, don't like it and that, but the fans, they love a player that's fucking socially active, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I'd rather just come out and say, played shite today. who gives a fuck? I'm going to have a Chinese night, a couple of pints, and a fucking season next week. She knows that fucking far better, but I don't know.
What do you say? Your mate? Not even. Mate, see,
Mickey Devlin.
Wasn't even going to mention his mate.
Captain Fantastic, there we go.
What a strike,
man. What a player. By the way, should we call it up to Scotland?
Okay.
And starting.
That's us,
I did Blackpool supper last night.
Mm. What supper?
No, I didn't enjoy it.
No, why would you do that? Get a supper and then get a wee black pudding fritter on the side.
It's the first time I've ever. I usually get the pizza crunch for the chippy, but I got that last night. And
what's your chippy tea?
Chippy tea fish.
See people, I'm going to tell you this now. See anybody, and I know it's a Dundee hang and maybe a Sunnah hang. See anybody that calls dinner tea?
It's disgraceful.
That's a disgraceful in the world.
Tea is a cup of tea. Tea time.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Tea is a fucking cup of tea. Not a day with that.
It's tea time. What time is tea at? I'll phone in the bag out here later. What time is tea at then?
What did you have for dinner at the weekend? Is that a Sunday night dinner? What about Saturday night?
First day I had Domino's. Friday I had a Chinese.
You're lying.
I swear to God, Saturday I had a McD's and Sunday I had a chippy. And that's me done. My birthday week this week, my birthday's this week.
Oh, he's going to London?
He's out of 30.
He's a London accent.
Nah,
come on, just a quick London accent.
Are you going to see KT?
No, I'm just going down with just chip my family. My family, I take me down and want to watch a few shows. Take in.
Got a few pals down there.
I'm meeting, by the way, but actually.
You taking the broomsticks then?
The broomsticks? Or the Weasleys?
The Weasleys.
No, but listen, just to see it. Down London is going to be unbelievable. That some things are
right, like hydro in it.
No, so
come on, just quickly.
Oh, is that? All right, you fucking wank. He's a dick, honestly.